This is 2-time All-American tight end Ross Wooderman has been inducted to the NAIA Football Hall of Fame, Nebraska versus Illinois.
This one I could see an overtime finish.
Your Concordia and pro sports leader.
Now it seems like the NFL is becoming the NBA.
Koopski. Great to be back. I'm Wyatt Kuby. Alongside my partner is Graham Frisky. And I know it's been a week, but I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back, man.
I mean, this is what I go to school for. Come on.
Yeah, a week seems like a long time. It seems like forever, honestly.
It does seem like a forever.
So it's a lot of fun to talk sports, and it's
talking sports, debating about certain team sports. I mean, it's just fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun, honestly.
Like, even if you get into an argument. I mean, we're still good buds, like,
yeah,
at
exactly.
The end of the day.
I mean, no matter how much we're at each other's throats, you know? I mean.
Hey, it's all good. Yeah. All right. So, today, we're going to talk a little bit about Concordia Sports. Men's soccer. Man, 6-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Can't get any more hotter than that.
That's awesome.
I hope they keep going, man.
Yeah, me too. It's incredible to watch them play, and I'm really looking forward to this team.
I am too. And a positive side, women's soccer, they won their first game.
They got their first win.
3-0 against Presentation.
Congratulations to them.
Solid win. They really needed that. Obviously, Presentation's not, their program's not as well known and well talked about, but a 3-0 win, I mean, that has to be a confidence booster. You got 3 points in one game after getting zero the whole rest of the season. So
after getting shut out your first, what, 5 games? Now you
actually
shut out a different
team. Yeah, exactly. So
it's got to feel great, and I'm happy for them.
I feel like they're going to continue this winning streak. I personally do. You know, that's fire under the belts. They actually got a win. They feel more confident, and I feel like they can continue this win streak.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's great to hear them and hopefully give them a surge of confidence in their playing abilities. And I know they're a good team. I know they've had great teams in the past, and hopefully they can continue to keep them going.
Yeah, hopefully. Volleyball, unfortunately, dropped 2 games after a great 12-0 start, but it was against some really tough opponents.
Yeah, and I felt a little hard on them last week, but I will say this, though. I was proud with how they played. I think they played Midland was their first game,
yep.
Right? And Midland, I think, they went to the semifinals in NAIA last year.
They're a good team.
They're a great team, and we held them. They had to go to the fifth set.
Yeah, the ending was 3-2. So, I mean, that's very impressive.
They dropped.
They
had a bad fourth set. I will say that. It was kind of an ugly fourth set. But, I mean, in every single one of their sets, it was tightly contended. I mean, it was just within a few points. You know,
yeah.
It came down to the last serve.
I mean, that's also what happened against Morningside. They also lost 3-2, but, I mean, that was also a close one. I mean, that was at Morningside, so they had to go to Morningside, and they didn't have the home field advantage, but.
Yeah, and, again, Morningside is a respectable team. So I was a little hard on them last week, but I was very, very delighted to see how this team was playing, though. And they're going to go – I think they have what it takes to go deep into the playoffs and make a great playoff run this year.
I do, too. And if they keep chugging it and playing like they have been, I do see them in the GPAC championship, hopefully winning it and continuing their role, their streak, showing that they can compete in high games.
Yeah, and it certainly looked like – and especially like that game, too, against both of their games, it just looked like they were having fun.
Yeah, and that's all you want to do is have fun and win games.
Have fun and be incredibly competitive, too, and that's what they're doing. So
exactly.
Give them credit. Great to hear from volleyball, but now I want to hear from you, being a football player. A little bit of heartbreak.
It's been a rough week. A rough week. You know, I personally wasn't at the game. I'm not on the travel roster, but was watching the game, and we looked great in the first half. You know, 24-0 lead at halftime, and I think we just decided we got this one in the bag and kind of threw our hat, expecting the other team to throw their hats on the field and roll over. But give credit to Buena Vista. They came out on all cylinders second half. We could not guard their best receiver in the second half to save our lives. He turned into Speedy McGee in the second half, ran all over our defense. But I can't really single out one player. It was a team loss. Great effort until the second half. But right now we don't even think about that game. We're focused on Hastings this week and hopefully getting that dub at Hastings. We're looking forward to it.
Like, what's this? So this game preview. How is Hastings looking so far this year?
They're looking pretty good. They're looking strong. They got a really good quarterback and receiving core. Their defense is kind of a fly around defense, brings a lot of pressure, and we did a great job holding Buena Vista's flowing pressure, moving each guy wherever they wanted to pressure. So hopefully we can continue that this week, and our offense can make some big plays in the passing game. I think that's where they're going to be most comfortable at, is passing the ball. Yes, we can still run the ball, but honestly, everyone's going to be geared up to stop Durden. So I think if we concentrate on that aspect of the game, we'll be fine. We'll do good things.
And Concordia looked like they have, I mean, all season long. I mean, I was only able to watch the one game against Doan, but I mean, still, their defense was very, very competitive, and it was a very great defense, and they even had a DTD I saw in the game.
Yeah, we had a pick six. Huge run. I think it was over 90-something yards. Great blocking, and our defense is playing tough, but we can't rely on our defense for the entire game because our offense, you know, three and outs, and then our defense is right back on the field. Mm-hmm. We hardly get a break. We just got tired in the second half. So, I mean, that's been the story since I've been here. Since, my cousin, he played for Concordia. He's been here, and that's basically the same story that I've heard. Defense is our best aspect. So if our offense can step up, I think we got a shot.
Well, defenses win championships. Everyone says that, and it's true what they say about it. I mean, obviously, if the other team can't score, you can't really lose, but at the same time, though, if you have a strong offense, you can give that defense a little bit more time. You want to try to keep your defense off
exactly
the field
and,
as much
and also
as possible.
The best defense is a good offense. That's also a saying that people say. If your offense can stay on the field for long drives, give your defense a time to rest for a really long time, then your defense can come out and show out, give a three and out, and then your offense can do another really long drive, wear the other team's defense out. And it's a totally different ballgame if that happens.
And it's such a wear and tear, too, if you have that kind of offense that can put together a long drive. Because not only does it give the defense, your defense, rest, it also just demoralizes the other team's defense.
Exactly.
Because
like
they just can't get off the field.
Exactly. I mean, and if it's like a third down and you're thinking in your mind, oh, we got this in the bag. All we just need is one more stop. And then all of a sudden they throw a hitch or a slant and they get the first down. And you're like, oh, dang it. It's the psychological effect that happens in the back of your mind. You might not see it on players' expressions, but it's always there in the back of their mind, like, oh, we could have had a stop there stuff like that, and the drive keeps going.
Yeah, playing football, I mean, I haven't played college ball, but I've played high school ball all 4 years, and, yeah, I mean, I hated those kind of offenses, right? Those were always the big top powerhouse teams. It's just because they knew how to move the football and not – necessarily big chunks of yards, just simple small yard gains. But I mean, those are the ones that probably hurt the most because you just can't get off the field.
Exactly. I mean, my junior and senior year of high school, when I moved to Minnesota, our coach had the I formation offense, and he was okay with 3 or 4 yards each carry that we had, but we just kept pushing it down the field when we had good drives. Obviously, my team wasn't that great, but you know, when we had those types of drives, we could see the wear and tear on the defense, and that made us as an offense more excited. You could see, like, I played center, so I could always see the nose guard get tired, starting like lean up in his stance and then stand up right away, and I could just bull rush him out and pancake him. And it was fun to do that, and it was fun to get those drives. And I feel like if you have an offense that can create that and do that, puts a lot of wear and tear on a defense, and that's how you win games.
Many colleges, they go out and kind of go with a hurry-up offense. Does Concordia institute that, or are they more?
We have, actually. Even in the Doan game in Buena Vista, we're a no-huddle team automatically, but we do this drill called tempo. So offense gets a play, they run out, it's like a quick hitch. Defense has to pursuit to it, and then the ball is placed right away, and they have to get the play in. It's constant. It's basically conditioning for us. So when we do that in a real game, it doesn't affect our offense. At Doan, it was effective because we had that one long drive that went down the field and scored the touchdown. The only touchdown we had, that was basically a no-huddle tempo drive. So it really helps if you can continue to practice that and implement it in games. And I feel like that's another wear and tear on defense, because if your defense is not conditioned enough to handle that, you can't substitute. That's a good point. And it's another wear and tear that you can put on a defense. Yes, long drives are one, but fast tempos, it also works very well.
Yeah, very true. And then would you say Concordia is better on offense in their passing game or the running game?
Oh, passing game.
Passing game.
Like, watching Buena Vista, we had more all of our touchdowns were through the air, and Ryan Durden can still make plays in the passing game because we had a third down and, like, I think 11 or 12. It was near the end of the game. Jake rolled out to the pocket and just dumped it down to Durden. He got, like, 15 yards for the first down, set up for the game-winning try for the field goal. Unfortunately, barely missed. But, yeah, so, yes, he's a great player. Yes, we want to give him the ball, but he can be effective in the running, in the passing game as much as the running game.
That's great to hear.
Another big football news, two-time All-American tight end Ross Wooderman has been inducted to the NAIA Football Hall of Fame. That man was a great tight end for the 2001 championship team, so congrats to him. I mean, that's a big honor.
I mean, how many other people have been inducted in the Hall of Fame since then? I mean, not many.
I think there's three total in Concordia history.
Really?
Gene Brooks is one of them. It's a big honor to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. So
congratulations
to him. And hopefully he can show or share his experience with the younger generation if he coaches. I don't know if he coaches or not, but you know,
that'd be really cool. I mean, it's always awesome to see him. I mean, we happened in our high school that too, where I mean, we never had a Hall of Fame for our high school, right? But like, we had a bunch of like experienced players who came back and coached us, and it was really cool to like, you know, hear their stories and gave them motivation. I honestly it would be really cool to see if he came back to Concordia and
He came and visited once.
Oh, did he?
And Coach Dabb kind of commemorated him, and we all got to see him, but I don't know what his plans are, but that's a big honor. I mean, that's
congratulations to him.
Yeah. And everyone's favorite college football D1 time, since we're on the topic of college football.
Nebraska won against a terrible team.
Yeah, I mean, yay, congratulations.
Congratulations.
But you also won off a team that isn't very good. Same with one of your wins last year when you played like an FCS crappy team.
Also, your one win that you had earlier this year against some no-name Southern Alabama team is congratulations. Now you start playing relevant teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, let's see how well you do. But top 25, we still have Clemson, Alabama, Georgia for the top three. LSU is now four. Oklahoma was sitting at that 5 seed. And do you think Ohio State got left out in the top 5? Or do you think Oklahoma deserves that 5th seed?
You know, I'm not really – it's hard to say, like, which one is better right now, because, I mean, right now Oklahoma has just this outstanding offense. But at the same time, they've played three teams that just – they're not very good. So, I mean, you can see that an offensive firepower like them, I think they said they post over 50 points a game. You know, it's insane.
I understand, but also Ohio State has a great offense as well. They have a great defense. They've always mm-hmm. had a great defense.
Well, and that's where I think Ohio State probably – I would take Ohio State over Oklahoma's, because Oklahoma's defense, I just don't really like their defense as much. I like Ohio State's defense a lot more than I like Oklahoma's. So I do think Oklahoma has a better offense, but at the same time, though, you have said it, Ohio State has a great offense, and they also have a great defense.
Personally, I mean, being a Big Ten fan, you know, I would like to see Ohio State get that 5th seed. I honestly think they're number four. I think they're better than LSU. So I feel like they got robbed a little bit just because they don't have those big-name players. Like Oklahoma has
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, Jalen Hurts. Forgot yes. Kyler Murray's on the no-name Arizona Cardinals. anyways, but, you know, like Ohio State doesn't have really any big names that you can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, they're going to be big names because they're showing out. They're doing great things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they just got robbed in this week's picks.
Yeah, and I mean, as long as they're number five right now or number six.
Ohio State's six.
Ohio State's six.
They're one away.
So, I mean, yeah, so as long as they stay kind of in the top 10 area, or I mean, I'd even say top eight, because when it comes down to your bowl games and stuff, you want to be in the top four. And, I mean, they're just within a game or two of striking distance. And, I mean, give the season some time, and Oklahoma's going to have to face some tough opponents, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. We're going to do something new here. So every week we're going to pick five games, and we're going to me and Graham are basically going to go one-on-one and see who has the better outcome. Nebraska versus Illinois. Nebraska is 2-1. Illinois is also 2-1. It's at Illinois, so I feel like it's going to be a good atmosphere, good game.
I think it'll be a good game, and it'll be an interesting game to say the least. I think this one I could see an overtime finish.
I could agree, but I feel like it's also going to come down to like fourth quarter field goal. That's what I personally think. It may go to overtime, but I have Illinois pulling off.
Illinois.
I have Illinois winning. I got to go with not really my hometown boys, but I mean they're showing great things right now.
I'll go with the home crowd. I'll say Nebraska gets this game. Oh. I think I've seen Illinois, and I mean I just don't think they haven't been relevant. I mean they've kind of been in the basement the last few years.
Next up on the game, we got Michigan and Wisconsin, both undefeated teams. I feel like that's going to be a great game to watch.
That will be a very exciting game to see.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to go with Wisconsin to win this game.
See, I'm picking Michigan.
Oh, all right.
Jim Harbaugh. You know, that really jerk of a coach. God, I hate that dude. He's a good coach. I will say this. I hate that guy, Jim Harbaugh. He's a good coach, and I think that he's going to be doing what it takes. And Wisconsin has been impressive this year.
Oh, they have. And they have been impressive since last year as well, you know.
Well, I don't know about last year so much. I mean, they lost to Minnesota in Wisconsin. I think that was the first time in, what, over 20 years that's happened?
I have no idea, but, I mean, give credit to Minnesota. They played their butts off. They really wanted that. They showed like they wanted that more.
Yeah.
I watched that game.
Oh, did you?
Minnesota looked incredible off the gates, and Wisconsin just kind of expected to win this game like they win every year. So...
Yeah, and honestly, but that's what I'm going to kind of take as this one, too. It's just that I think they might get cocky if they get up. And, you know, they score a touchdown against Michigan, you know, they're the greatest, right?
But, see, I don't think they're going to do that. I feel like they're not going to say, oh, we're the great. No, they're going to pound Michigan's throats and say, we're going to prove to you that we're the better team through all four quarters. So that's why I got Wisconsin to win. They also have a great defensive line. One of my old teammates, Bryson Williams, is the nose guard. Big man, great feet, great hands, just strong, athletic. And you got, you know, your offense is really, really good and your defense is showing up. I feel like Wisconsin is going to pull off this win. And I feel it's going to be a one-possession game. I don't think it's going to be 3 points. I feel like it's going to be a touchdown win, but that's just me. I feel like Wisconsin's going to pull it off.
We'll see. And honestly, this is my game of the week for college football. This is the one that I'm going to really want to watch and emphasize this week. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised. That's an 11 o'clock game. I'm kind of surprised that it's not like a prime time
game.
Yeah, that's not a prime time game.
But it is what it is. You know, Michigan coming at 11th seed and Wisconsin 13. That'll be a great game. Auburn and Texas A&M. Texas A&M is playing at home. Auburn's off to a 3-0 start. I'm going to pick Auburn. They right now, 3-0, they beat Oregon on an incredible game. I mean, that's a top-tier team. And they're just showing me that they can continue to play at this high level, and they're coming in back into the SEC, you know, hard conference, but I feel like they can pull one off against Texas A&M.
And if you remember, I've said that Auburn had, like, the best uniforms, and I really want Auburn to win, and I'm going to cheer for them. But I'm going to say Texas Tech takes this one out.
You mean Texas A&M?
Or Texas A&M, excuse me. I'm going to say Texas A&M takes this win just because the atmosphere, it's in Texas. It's at Texas, right?
It's at Texas A&M, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a great atmosphere in that game, and I always – it's one of the top – they have one of the top stadiums in college football, in my opinion. I mean, Memorial Stadium is also very gorgeous, very beautiful. It has a great atmosphere in that.
But it's also old.
I mean, yes.
Nebraska Stadium's old, but.
I mean, yes, but it's still rich in the atmosphere, but also Texas A&M has one of those stadiums. And honestly, they host the best stadium, in my opinion, in college football. And they have a really great atmosphere every game.
I know what you're saying. I mean, you can't get the nickname 12th man unless you're doing something right, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I still got Auburn putting up the upset, so.
And, I mean, Auburn also has a freshman quarterback, too. He's had some great luck. It's only a matter of time, though. Like Lamar Jackson last year, it's only a matter of time before a team figures out how to stop a quarterback. So
I know, and honestly, I feel like Auburn's going to take it all. I mean, right now they're ranked 8th in the nation, so – I mean, if you're going to live up to the hype, you might as well do it against an SEC team.
Yeah, and they have a great defense, too, so they might. We'll see. That's another game that I have pinned on my watch list this weekend.
All right. Next up, we're staying kind of in the SEC, so it's Notre Dame at Georgia. Both teams undefeated. I'm going Georgia. I can't stand Notre Dame, even though they do great things. But I've watched Georgia play. They're firing on all cylinders. I mean, they're a really good ball club.
And I really like Notre Dame. I really like that college. They gave me and the Vikings Harrison Smith. I really like Notre Dame.
I hate Notre Dame. I can't stand them. I mean, it's not just like it's just like their atmosphere and their culture isn't really great. I don't connect with it. It's not something that I feel like is necessary. And you're an independent team who somehow got into the college football playoffs, where I think that's bullcrap. I feel like you have to be in a conference and win a conference championship to be eligible to get into the college football playoffs. You can't just be undefeated, because Notre Dame can pick whatever school they want. If you really think it, they can pick whatever school they want and play them, and they can be undefeated. Doesn't really matter. I just don't like it. They're not in a conference. They haven't proved themselves to me that they are that good of a team. They're just overhyped, and I can't stand them. I can't stand the way that they play. I can't stand the way that they're coached. I just can't stand the whole school.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I'm going to go Georgia in that game, just because, yes, I've seen Georgia play, and I've seen Fromm, the quarterback. He's a great quarterback. He's very talented, and he can hit his cues, and I just think that Georgia has more than what Notre Dame can offer.
I definitely agree. Georgia has more talent and more everything. I mean, all cylinders. That they're a way better team. Next up, and I guess another SEC game, it's California at Ole Miss, Pac-12 versus SEC matchup. That'll be a good game. California's coming in 3-0, and Ole Miss is 2-1. I'm going to have you pick first. Who do you got?
I got California.
You got California?
I got California, just because I've watched some of the Ole Miss games, and I don't really like their program, I guess. Like, you know, you have your Notre Dame thing. And there's also that bidding grinding of Laquon Treadwell. It's supposed to be way overhyped way overhyped wide receiver. I don't really like Ole Miss that much. So I'm just going to say that no. I don't like Ole Miss. I could see this game going both ways. But I'm going to be rooting for California in this game.
I mean, I think for the second time today we agree, cuz I got California winning too. I mean, they're showing up. They're undefeated right now. They're playing good ball. And Ole Miss has a history of starting good and then ending bad. So
yes, yep.
I feel like this is one of the games where they start to end bad. Pac-12 can put their name in the race for the best conference in the nation. I mean, they got some good ball clubs, but they only have a few. Not like the SEC or Big Ten, who has basically all. Big Ten, all except for Maryland and Rutgers. I mean, obviously, those two programs are awful. Minnesota's climbing. I mean, they're good. Illinois is now climbing. So, and SEC, you know, they're just a powerhouse team. If you have you take an SEC team and they play someone else, they're going to win, because they have the competition so tough in their own conference that it doesn't matter who else they play. And I feel like that's the same for the Big Ten. So,
mm-hmm.
Pac-12, they can pull this off. Not the Pac-12, but like I feel like California can pull this off and get a W against Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
I think NFL is next. Is that right?
Yes, NFL is next. Then is it too early to pick the Patriots going 16-0?
Yes,
you think so?
I think so, because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's all you need to say.
Yes, but over the last year, Patriots took that game, right?
Yeah, and a dumb call. I mean, obviously.
Well, but they played in the regular season too. I mean, the Chiefs had two opportunities.
Yeah, you know, but I feel like that's going to be in the back of their minds. So I feel like that's also a fire in the fuel when they play them again. I mean, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row, you know? So I don't think they're going to be undefeated this year.
We'll see. But here's the other question I have. Are the Dolphins going to go this entire year without a win?
I honestly think so. I mean, they haven't proven anything to me lately in the two games that we've seen. Your defense isn't stepping up. You have zero offense. I mean, what else is there? You're basically the new Browns right now.
And you traded away your top player, too, because he requested a trade after week one.
That's insane.
And here's something I too want to bring up, and this is becoming a bigger occurrence in the NFL. So I call it the Antonio Brown domino effect almost. I mean, trademark that. I'm kidding, don't. But I'm just wondering, so all these players are now kind of following in the example of Antonio Brown, and I knew that it was kind of going to happen because I heard there was a lot of talk about it, but now there are so many teams, like the Dolphins, for example, that are requesting trades. There are teams from the Jaguars. I think Jalen Ramsey just put in a trade deal. I mean, now it seems like the NFL is becoming the NBA. I mean, as soon as your team is not winning, I mean, loyalty.
Exactly. Like, I don't really understand it. Yes, it's fun to win games, but also you're playing. You're in the NFL. Like, not many people get this opportunity. Like, I dreamed of playing in the NFL. Yeah, nope, that ain't happening. I'm not good enough to be in the NFL. I'm good enough to play in college, but I'm not good enough to play in the NFL. And they're basically taking my dream and crushing it, because now I don't feel like I ever wanted to play in the NFL, if that's the mindset of NFL players. So I feel like it's dumb. I feel like it's stupid. I feel like it's childish. I feel like everyone's following the adult baby steps, and if I don't get my way, I'm going to whine about it. Well, who cares? Who gives two craps if you don't get your way? You have to be an adult. You have to step up and accept the fact that you're not getting your way. Life is not fair. Deal with it.
And you're getting paid millions of dollars. So exactly. If you were getting screwed over, if you were getting lowballed, I could see this, all right? But you're getting paid millions of dollars, and people like Le'Veon Bell to get out of Pittsburgh, or Antonio Brown getting out of Oakland, you know, they forfeited close to $15 million a year. Like, if they were getting lowballed at maybe $1 million, okay, I could, you know, like, give the guy a pay. You know, like, Ezekiel Elliott this year, I think the man deserved to be paid.
He's a good player.
He's a great back, and I believe that the man deserved to get paid. So, as far as him holding out, I'm fine with that, because he wasn't going on social media, and he wasn't, you know, posting all this stuff like Antonio Brown did. But what made me so mad is that Antonio Brown did all this childish stuff, and he got rewarded by going on to a Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all, but I mean, the Patriots don't really give two craps on who they have on their team. I mean, if you look at their history, they had a murderer, they had scandals, they had cheaters on their teams.
Drug abusers.
They don't give two craps about who's on your team. They just, if you're a good ball player, they're gonna hire you, and they're gonna show out.
Yeah,
and that's why everyone hates the Patriots, though. It's because of they're winning every game, but they also are the biggest program that has scandals and cheating going on that are leaked. Obviously, every team cheats in their own way, but it's not leaked like the Patriots are. So I feel like it's messed up.
And I talked to my father about this too, and I was asking him, I was like, well, what do you think about the Antonio Brown thing? And and my dad said, well, I think that's what the plan was from day one.
I totally agree, because how else would you get out of Pittsburgh and then go to Oakland and then automatically somehow get to the Patriots before the season even starts?
Well, and I think that Antonio Brown wanted to get out of Pittsburgh because, I mean, Big Ben isn't exactly the brilliance of leadership that everyone says he is. I mean, he's kind of a jerk in of himself, and he throws players under the bus. He has a radio show or whatever, and he throws players on the bus, to give you an example. So I mean, I don't know if Antonio Brown like just wanted to get out of there, but I know that the
way he did it was not right. I mean, there are 100 different ways that you could have done that differently. The way he did it was not one of those good ways to do it.
Well, and I think he wanted to target the Patriots, but what I hear is that the Pittsburgh didn't want to trade Brown to the Patriots because just because the Steelers can't win against the Patriots to save their lives.
Exactly.
I mean, they did last year,
which is
I
good.
I will say that was good, but I mean, what is their record against the Patriots since the Tom Brady era?
I have no idea. I don't really care.
Yeah, no, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. And players are starting to get rewarded. Now, Micah Fitzpatrick, a great cornerback from Miami, just got traded to Pittsburgh. Now, normally I would say something about this, but Big Ben is out.
Yeah.
The rest of the season, did something to his elbow. He's going to need surgery.
Non-contact, so I don't know. I think he's just getting old, and I feel like he should retire. But yeah, he says he's not going to retire, so...
Yeah,
so be it.
I saw that play, and I'm like, bro. If that was non-contact, it's time for him to retire.
Exactly. Like all these other quarterback games. Let's talk about that. The curse of the quarterbacks for 2019.
Oh, geez, yes.
I mean, a lot of them are contact related, but obviously the one player is Ben Roethlisberger, and actually two, mono for what's his face?
Or Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, he got mono. That's non-contact, but.
And I'm going to go number three, Drew Brees, because he screwed my fantasy team over.
Okay, no, but that was contact. His throwing arm went straight into a guy's helmet, and that's why he tore a ligament in his thumb.
I mean, fair enough, but, I mean, still a huge injury to talk about.
It's still huge, but we were talking about non-contact guys.
Oh, fair enough.
But, yes, Drew Brees was on my fantasy as well, so that's very unfortunate. But they say they're not going to put him on IR. They're going to hold out. Hopefully he's back in 6 weeks, but.
I drafted Russell Wilson as my backup, so I'm fine.
See, I drafted Trubisky as my backup because I never thought that I'd have to use him. You know, I just thought, okay, it's a bye week and I can just throw Trubisky in there. But it's worse than I thought.
And you know, the Bears got the win and probably the most dramatic finish of the week.
I mean, I'm happy about the win, but
it was not a pretty win.
It was not. I was so stoked when I heard that they won, but. I watched the game, and it has its highs and lows, and we had a lot more lows than we did highs.
Vikings had a bunch of lows, too, and Kirk Cousins now going to social media and saying that he's probably not going to have a job with the Vikings.
If he keeps playing. He said if he keeps playing like he's playing. I mean, there is hope, but it's very little. Vikings need to show more offense because their defense can't continue to be the focal point of the Vikings.
Yeah, and honestly, we were talking about how defense wins games, and they allowed three touchdowns right away, like within the first 17 minutes, which was terrible, but I was proud and impressed on how well they did the remaining three quarters, not allowing a single point against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, but they also need to get pressure to Aaron Rodgers. Because yes, I'm a Bears fan, but it's week two. I mean, the only two teams that Packers have played as the Bears and the Vikings. So if you look at the Bears game, Bears were getting pressure at Aaron Rodgers the whole time, and he wasn't looking like the week two Aaron Rodgers that we saw. Because the Vikings were getting that much pressure on him, he had all day to sit back and throw to his targets and make plays like we all know Aaron Rodgers can.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you can get pressure in Aaron Rodgers' face, he's not going to produce as well as he would if you just let him sit back and throw. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. And it's great to have the opportunity from Sower to do this podcast. So
that's a big shout out to them.
We'll see you all next week. And tune in to the Koopski as we are here once a week to talk about sports. And
see you next week. And thank you so much if you went to view our first podcast. And thank you so much if you stayed this long on this podcast.
And if you want to talk to us, leave us an email at cunekubski@gmail.com. Again, that is cunekubski@gmail.com. Thank you all, and have a good night.
We're out.